I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Hubble Happy Hour. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Washington to Walpole, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
The Body Bilotti, Don't Kill My Vibe. I need the end of that song at the end of every open. It helps juice me up. And we're ready to roll here on the show today. Got a really good one. We are jammed. We've got Katie Linendahl, who will join us in studio coming up 1 hour from now. Holiday gifts and gadgets. That's 1 hour from now. Katie Linendahl in studio with us. Queen of the ox roast.
Oh, okay.
We've got the great Mick Foley joining us here on the show. Wrestling legend. He'll join us 1.5 hours from now. Next hour. And we've got NFL Hall of Famer Aeneas Williams, longtime Phoenix and Arizona Cardinal corner, St. Louis Rams corner, Hall of Famer, and the subject of a brand new football life done by NFL Network and NFL Films, which will debut this week. And so Aeneas is going to join us here on the show 2 hours from now, 3rd hour of the program. So much to get to. Plus, the 12 DAs continues with the first 4 out. Number 12 comes your way on Friday. We are counting down the best of the rest over the course of the first 4 days of this week. So everything I think you're going to enjoy today, and I hope you do, and I want you to call because I like you, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I want to start with Ryan Shazier because lost in the suspension of Juju Smith-Schuster of a game, lost in the debate over how many games Gronk should have gotten, lost in the conversation about another choke job by the Bengals, another late game win by the Steelers, is the fact that Ryan Shazier, one of the most important defensive players of the Steelers, is lying in a hospital bed and we don't know if he'll ever walk again. We know that Monday night was brutal. We know that Monday night was difficult to watch at times. We know that football is a brutal game. It's a violent game. And part of that violence is why we watch. And the NFL has to live with this. They're trying to make it safer. But you can't make it completely safe because it's a collision sport played at high speeds by large men. This is not a half-speed game. It's not played by skinny, slow people. It's large, fast, athletic men slamming into one another every single play for 3 hours once a week. And Ryan Shazier lies in this hospital bed, and there are vague reports of him doing better, and he tweeted thanks for the report or thanks for the support and the love last night, which is uplifting. But we don't know if Ryan Shazier is ever going to walk again, which is terrifying. Because we've had a couple of these situations before. Mike Utley, Detroit Lions. Dennis Byrd, New York Jets. Eric LeGrand, Rutgers. Kevin Everett, a decade ago for the Buffalo Bills on special teams, went down. Thought it was permanent paralysis. An inspiring story. He actually walked again. In fact, 1 year from that date, walked back out in Buffalo at Ralph Wilson Stadium. An incredible, incredible football moment. But those other guys didn't. Those other guys were in wheelchairs the rest of their lives. And this isn't about the Pittsburgh Steelers' chances in the playoffs. This isn't about the Pittsburgh Steelers' defense moving forward. This is about a guy's life. Will he play again? Will he walk again? And it's going to change how we watch football. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
From my perspective, obviously, it was a tough evening. Man, Ryan's a trooper. Had an opportunity to spend some time with him. Man, he's in really good spirits. Tough guy. He's got great support from family and loved ones there. It was painful to kind of get on that plane last night. But you know, that's life. We realize and understand that he's in really good hands and is getting expert medical care. And he also challenged us to move on with what it is that we need to move on, and he's with us as well.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Obviously, Mike Tomlin yesterday updating everybody on Ryan Shazier. You know, I think about Daryl Stingley a lot, because in the NFL, we are constantly bombarded by trying to make the game safer, and rightfully so. We know too much now about head injuries. We know too much about brain trauma. We know too much about CTE. We know too much about how many of these guys that suffer a lot of concussions are really struggling and are pained and tragic at the end of their lives, so much so that they sometimes take their own lives. And it's already tough for some people to reconcile watching football and feeling okay watching football. And you can still love the sport. I mean, I still love it because it's beautiful at times, and it can be incredibly sophisticated at times. It can be incredibly exciting at times. But clearly, when a guy like Shazier goes down and is carted off, or a guy like Vontaze Burfict is carted off, or you're seeing concussions and guys lying on the ground, it's tough to cheer as loud. It's tough to feel as good. And I think about Daryl Stingley back in the mid-70s when he's hit by Jack Tatum, one of the most vicious safeties ever to play in the NFL. As he's coming over the middle as a wide receiver for the Patriots. Comes over the middle, gets slammed by Tatum, and never walks again. Now, I think about that because that happened in the mid-70s. And I think about what would happen if that happened today. Could you imagine a guy coming over the middle, being slammed with a helmet-to-helmet hit or a helmet-to-the-back hit, breaking vertebrae or being paralyzed in the middle of a football game and never walking again in a day and age where we now have instantaneous Twitter, instantaneous Facebook, instantaneous blogosphere, instantaneous talk radio, instantaneous everything? I think the world would change in terms of watching football. I really do. I think it would. I think it would be very, very difficult for people to reconcile watching a guy get paralyzed in real time on their football screen or, God forbid, dying. Now, we have young men that have passed away playing football over dehydration, exhaustion, heart palpitations, heart situations in high school and college. We haven't watched a young man die on a football field, and I hope and I pray that we never do. But I wonder if that is inevitable, because it's the same size field as it's always been, and these guys are bigger, stronger, faster. There's less space to work with, and it's more violent. Yeah, there was the head slap by Deacon Jones, and yes, you could hit with maybe more of a shoulder into a helmet or a helmet to helmet earlier in football's history. But if you really watch games, if you really watch games from the 50s, the 60s or 70s, or even just watching film of those games, highlights, you see that the game moved so much slower. Guys were so much smaller. And I just think things will really change and it'll grab us all because none of us want to see that. Now, what we've had with the Ryan Shazier injury is it's not a violent play necessarily. So there isn't this video that will run on loop over and over and over again of this vicious hit that leaves a guy paralyzed. And again, I pray to God that he is not and that he's okay and hopefully one day can resume his career because he's a great young player, but more so just that he can live a normal life. But what happens in 2017 if that happens on a violent play over the middle and a guy never walks again? What happens if Vontaze Burfict wouldn't walk again? That would really shake people up. Now, maybe less so because Burfict is seen as a bad guy, quote-unquote, a villain in the league. But Daryl Stingley was not. He was a good guy. Jack Tatum was the bad guy. And I just think everything would change. Just look at the Tennessee search. In 1976, sports is so different. Completely different than what we have now. Some ways better, some ways worse. In 1976, if Greg Schiano is hired at Tennessee, Greg Schiano is coaching at Tennessee. Yeah, there might be some people that are upset, some boosters that are upset, but they've got to make a phone call to a switchboard to the chancellor or the athletic director, or they've got to write a letter and put a stamp on an envelope and put it in the mail to express their disgust. Today, instantaneously, you're on Twitter, you're on social media, you're protesting, you're gathering, you're in groups, the din is loud. It's instantaneous now. People freak out now more than ever before. Man, if there is a really bad collision and a really bad injury in football, specifically the NFL when the world's watching the professionals, it's going to devastate a lot of people. And I just feel like it's almost inevitable now. And I hate to think that. I really hate to feel that way. But this Shazier injury reminds me of that. This is one of the great young defensive players in football. And the guy is fighting for walking again right now. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Connect us on Twitter. DA on CBS. Sorry to start out the show with a bummer story, but that's just how I've been thinking about and what I've been feeling about since that Shazier injury and since what I watched on Monday night. When we come back, the Warriors, bitten by the injury bug, what's the significance to Steph Curry's ankle? That's next, plus your phone calls and your tweets as we roll along on a Wednesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Get zapped while the sun is out.
What's up, DA, buddy? Man, I love the show. I appreciate you. I'm trying to keep the one pan.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. DA with you on CBS Sports Radio. Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question to CBS Sports Radio. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Remember to take the DA Show with you on your phone. It's good for you. It's nutritious. There's so many ways you can get us on your phone. Number one, you can stream us using the CBS Sports app or the TuneIn app or the Radio.com app or on Apple Music. By the way, the Apple Music, very strong stream. If it's not, see your physician. Number two, you can also watch the show on your phone. It's mobile friendly. Our simulcast at watchda.com. Or if you miss anything or want to hear it again, don't worry. We're on iTunes. Simply download us there. Easy peasy listening to the DZ. We've got Katie Linedahl in studio next hour. She's got some gadget ideas, some gift ideas for all of us, and we could use them. We've got Mick Foley, WWE Hall of Famer, coming up 1 hour from now. And in the third hour, Aeneas Williams, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Ahmad's next up. He's in Youngstown, Ohio, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1240. Good morning, Ahmad.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good. Hey, just wanted to know your thoughts on a little situation that may happen. Rumor has it Peyton Manning may come to Cleveland at the end of the season to work up in the front office. Now, what if Peyton calls Eli, says, hey Eli, once you come play over here, you know, you got a couple more years left. Then he says, I got money. Let me call Odell, get him over here. We want to win. We want to win now. And then in the meantime, in the draft, get the quarterback that we want. You got both Mannings there. And then, you know, we want to win. What if? Just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, bud. Now, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I want none of that to happen. Okay? Well, I take that back. I would love to have Peyton Manning coming in to clean up the mess. I don't think he's going to walk in there to do that. Peyton Manning has a pristine football pedigree, a pristine football legacy. John Elway didn't want to come back to the Cleveland Browns. John Elway wanted to come back for the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning's not going to take over a franchise that's a laughingstock. If he takes over a franchise, it's not going to be one that has had that much dysfunction. And if Peyton Manning goes anywhere, he's going to demand final say on everything like John Elway. And maybe Jimmy Haslam is desperate enough to do that and give it to him, but I don't think that Peyton Manning is coming back to a dumpster fire that is the Browns. So, A, not going to happen. B, why would the New York Giants trade Odell Beckham? He's their only significant offensive threat. Evan Ingram's had a nice rookie season, but what you've seen is you're 11-5 with Odell Beckham. You're 2-10 without him. They're not trading Odell Beckham. He sells jerseys, sells tickets, and in this day and age with the Giants fan base this miserable and this upset and this angry, you're not trading your meal ticket. Number three, if you're the Browns, you don't want Eli Manning. There's no interest. You're not ready to win now. You're not ready. It's a team that's still winless. They have one win in 2 years. They're not ready to win now. Eli Manning's not going to go to a team that has one win in 2 years. Odell Beckham's not going to want to go to a team that has one win in 2 years. Nor should you want an aging Eli Manning. The only way for the Browns to get themselves out of this, the only way, is to draft a quarterback like they should have with Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson the last 2 years. And then you begin your growth, and you hope that Njoku and other young kids that you have drafted the last couple of years, when you've been terrible, help supplement that young quarterback, and you're able to build something together. But it's going to start with 3-13 and 4-12. I mean, they're going to go 0-16 this year. It's not going to start with 7-9 or 10-6. It's the only way. And I would say the only way also is to refuse to keep making the same changes over and over again. But even that seems now impossible because I just don't know how you can keep a franchise in place with the GM and the head coach again if you've won one game in 2 years. I don't know how you do it. You know, I thought this year they might win 3 or 4 games. They're going to win 0. I don't know how you can go to Jimmy Haslam and say, see, there's growth here. What's the growth? You still don't have a franchise quarterback. DeShone Kizer's not that guy. You still haven't figured out a way to scrap out wins. You still find ways to lose at the end of every year. You're not getting better. You're seemingly getting worse, so you can't say that Hugh Jackson's making it better, finding ways to kind of improve. And on top of it, it's not like this is a quote-unquote farm system, a young roster that is just dripping with talent. It doesn't feel that way at all. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. Just to carry over something that I was talking about early in the show about how after Ryan Shazier, I'm worried that there's going to be a death on the football field or a paralysis in a dramatic scenario like Daryl Stingley and Jack Tatum and that it's going to, in 2017 or 2018, explode the Twittersphere and how we look at football, because today is just so much different than when Stingley was paralyzed in 1976 with a violent collision. And one of our listeners reminded me of the story of Chuck Hughes, who is still the only player ever to die on an NFL football field. And that was back in 1971. They were playing, it was so long ago, it was at Tiger Stadium. And in a game against the Bears, there was a collision, and he actually dropped to the turf, clutching his chest, and began to convulse on the field. And doctors and trainers were there trying to save him. They got him to an ambulance, but he was pronounced dead at the hospital. But that actually wasn't because he was hit. That was because he ended up having a heart condition that was undiagnosed. And apparently one of his arteries was 75% blocked because of family history and genetics. That would freak everybody out as well. But people would say, well, you got to get yourself checked out. Well, that's a family history. Well, that's genetics. Oh, that's a heart palpitation. That's a heart murmur. That's a heart situation. I'm talking about a football collision. I think would traumatize the nation. It would change how we looked at football. Basketball-wise, an injury to talk about, and that is Steph Curry. He twisted his ankle the other night. He's now out for the next 2 weeks. And I think this is significant, not because the Warriors can't handle losing Steph Curry for 2 weeks in December, because they certainly can. This is interesting. This is significant because the Golden State Warriors are presumed to be the NBA champions yet again. And if they're the NBA champions yet again, it takes a lot of the drama out of the NBA season, and everybody is chasing the Warriors, kind of thinking it's impossible to take them down. Steph Curry being out changes that whole equation. I know they lost Kevin Durant last year for a significant amount of time in the middle of the season, and losing Steph for 2 weeks, certainly the Warriors could end up winning 10 of their 12 games or whatever it's going to be that they play, 7 of their 10 games. And it's not going to be that big a deal. But Steph Curry has a history of ankle ailments. And I don't think that the Warriors can win an NBA Finals without a healthy Steph Curry. And while they have all of this star power and all of this talent, they need Steph in there. Klay is great. Draymond's great. KD's great. But Steph is the difference maker on that team. Even though KD was the MVP of last year's finals, you've seen Kevin Durant emotionally just out of sorts the start of this season. The offseason really messed with his head. Steph's ankle injury is significant because if it's a 2-week thing and no big deal, fine. Nothing after that. If it's the type of thing that can linger or pop back, he's had a history of ankle injuries before. Remember, the only time the Warriors in this run have not won the NBA championship was the year that Steph was dinged up in the NBA Finals. This is significant because Curry missing time, or Curry being less than 100%, or Curry, the age-old ankle injuries, which is the reason the Warriors didn't give him a huge contract to begin with, is the type of thing that completely alters the power structure of the NBA. It makes the Warriors take downable, if you will. And last year they were great, and last year you couldn't touch them, and they win the championship, and that's that. But they were also incredibly healthy in the playoffs and the finals. This is early, might not matter, but if Steph's dinged in the playoffs or NBA finals, suddenly the Warriors become mortal. They're only immortal if all of these guys are healthy again. They were very fortunate last year that they didn't have to deal with injuries. The year before, they did, and they lost the Cavs in the finals. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, soundcheck your best audio of the day, including one Georgia fan getting in his neighbor's face that happened to be an Auburn fan. This audio is great. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are are the glitch in the simulation.
We had a meat that I didn't even know didn't exist in the outside world. It's called ox roast. And I ate it like my whole childhood. And then I'm like, is that like a made-up meat?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Katie Linendahl is going to join us next hour in studio 20 minutes from now for some gift ideas. She's our gadget guru. So she'll help us out. Get you on the straight and narrow. Some ideas populating in your head for what to buy your loved ones this holiday season. Welcome back, DA, with you. Remember to download the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast. We are going to tape it after the show today. Just get that later on this afternoon. The PGP, the show about the show within the show, the Permission Granted Podcast, available on iTunes. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. It's also Hall of Fame Day here on the show, as we have WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley and Aeneas Williams Pro Football Hall of Famer. Why every time that I say Mick Foley's a wrestling Hall of Famer, do you start getting pushed into a tizzy, Mraz?
I booked Mick Foley, so I want to make this clear. I think Mick Foley's a great character from when I watch wrestling. I just still find it absolutely appalling and ridiculous that the WWE has a Hall of Fame. And more important, forget them having a Hall of Fame, that wrestling fans clamor for who is in the Hall of Fame. This isn't baseball with 3,000 hits or Super Bowl rings with the NFL. These are guys whose whole career has been scripted. Scripted. Their outcomes have been predetermined by Vince McMahon and the writers at WWE. Like, how do we know this guy is truly great and would have won all these matches if it was actually about, you know, fist fighting in a ring?
Okay, but hang on. Didn't you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I did.
How is that different?
I think it's different because I think you could chart how many albums you've sold. You know,
is that what
that
you were
stuff.
Looking at?
Grammy Awards.
Yeah, you were looking at the metrics of what all these
No, but
fans
I'm saying
were.
You could sell me on why you have a Hall of Fame because you get these great accolades and awards. They're not, nobody predetermined that the Rolling Stones would win how many Grammys they've won. You could predetermine how many times, you know, Hunter Hearst Helmsley has won the WWE Championship.
But isn't it more just a museum? Is there a museum?
Then just call it the WWE Museum. He's in the museum. Calling it a Hall of Fame tells me that he's done something to earn Hall of Fame credentials. Sorry, Mick Foley. Your book looks great. I hope you're a great spot. You can't tell me you, who was a pig, you know, could come in and you would have won all these cell matches if it was, you know, really versus athletic guys. Hey, the Hall of Fame is ridiculous. Wrestling fans are ridiculous.
Wait a second. So what about the Walk of Fame? What about the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
I think that's stupid, too.
These are just actors, but they don't deserve to be honored
actors. How many of them have won, you know, Academy Awards and stuff like that?
But again, I think like Kermit the Frog's on the Walk of Fame.
And I would tend to think that's ridiculous, too. Absolutely, but at least it's called a Walk of Fame, not a Hall of Fame. You're just putting stars down there. This is an actual Hall. They do a ceremony.
Well, wait a second. Is there a Hall of Fame? Can you walk around a Hall of Fame, the Body Bilotti, who's our resident wrestling expert?
There is no WWE Hall of Fame where you can walk around.
Okay.
But there is an actual Wrestling Hall of Fame in Iowa.
There's a Wrestling Hall of Fame, yes. But there's no WWE.
That's another
so
thing.
So when you go into the WWE Hall of Fame, what do you get out of that?
You get a plaque out of it, the ceremony.
Where's the plaque?
The plaque, they get the plaque.
Oh, you just own the plaque.
Right. They're
in a process, even more ridiculous.
They're in the process of finding a place for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, so they haven't built a Hall of Fame yet. So right now,
they've had these inductions for 10 years. What are they looking for? I mean, we just built office space in here for salespeople. They can't find somewhere to put this thing?
Do you think it's ridiculous to have a Hall of Fame, Bilotti?
No, there's a Toys Hall of Fame.
There's a Toys Hall of Fame. There's a Pez Dispenser Hall of Fame.
There's many other Hall of Fames. I don't think it's ridiculous
no,
at all.
No, but I have...
This is what the business is. And that's their Hall of Fame for the business.
What are you angry about?
Because I have sat there, and I have plenty of friends who are diehard wrestling fans, right? And I have sat there on WrestleMania weekend where they break down why certain guys get into Hall of Fame. Well, he won the European Championship in 97, and then... Are you kidding? Why are we referencing that? If he's strictly in the Hall of Fame because he entertained you, that's fine. Don't break down the resume as if like he got into the ring and beat the British Bulldog for real in a fist fight. Are you kidding me? He's there because their career has been pre-freaking scripted. You're watching a soap opera. You're watching a Broadway play. This isn't actual sports. These wrestling fans, yeah, I'm sorry, you become nut jobs.
But okay, so they can be in the Hall of Fame based on popularity. They just can't be in the Hall of Fame based on, like,
right.
accomplishments.
When they go up there on that Saturday night before WrestleMania or Friday night, and the fact that I even know when this is ridiculous, and they read off their resume and how they're being inducted, I don't want to hear what they accomplished in their career. It should be in, out. Hey, you entertained us for 10 years. Come up and say something.
I think you're a hater. think you're a hater, and I think you're ridiculous with this point.
All right, sound check time. Let's get to the best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
John Elway on his coaching staff in the offseason.
He will not make any changes on that coaching staff until, at the very least, if at all, after the season is concluded.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. We're gonna finish the season out. We're gonna, you know, I never see the process there, so we're gonna finish the season out, and you know, obviously we know the expectations of the Denver Broncos, and this has been a tough year. It's not what the Broncos are about. You know, I'm embarrassed about it and the fact that this has happened, and, you know, we'll do my part to hopefully get this thing turned around next year. And the expectations of our Bronco fans should be for us to get this turned around. So that is fair. You know, I'll say that is fair. And so, but you know what? Before we get that done, we're going to finish this, take pride in what we do, and finish this season as strong as we possibly can.
That's Elway on Orange and Blue 760 in Denver. Boy, it feels like a long time ago since Sergio Dipp told us that Vance Joseph is having the time of his life. The Broncos, once upon a time, were 3-1. They haven't won since then. The biggest stage possible.
I truly meant no disrespect.
Vance Joseph is having the time of his life.
The biggest stage out there.
Look, Vance Joseph hasn't been very good, but let's also be fair here. Their quarterback play has been a disgrace. And I don't know how you could expect anybody to win football games in the NFL if you don't have good quarterbacking. And Brock Osweiler's been a boob. Baby Brock. Trevor Siemian, bad. And clearly, they drafted a guy in Paxton Lynch that's just never going to play. Because, I mean, what's taking so long here, bud? So, I don't think John Elway's going to fire Vance Joseph after year one. I think you got to give Vance Joseph a year two with an actual quarterback. Victor Cruz, former New York Giant on Good Morning Football. On the Giants' tumultuous last week.
As far as Coach McAdoo going, being fired or being released, I think it was long overdue.
Oh.
I think it was a couple weeks already too late.
Okay.
Once you see guys in that locker room start to give these anonymous reports about how he's handling them and how practice on set, that's when you know he's completely lost the locker room and completely lost the players.
Nobody liked Ben McAdoo. He was an egomaniac. He tried to be the tough guy, and he had no people skills. He was an assistant coach. He was a position coach in Green Bay. He comes to New York. He ends up getting the coordinator job with the Giants. He calls, apparently, a pretty good game because for two seasons, they had one of their best offensive seasons with Eli, but also were bailed out because they had a surging and exploding Odell Beckham. When he had to manage people, it was a disaster. When he had to be a leader, it was a disaster. When he had to ask people to follow him, it was a disaster. Ben McAdoo is not cut out to be a leader. He doesn't have that. You can't just put assistant coaches in positions of power and expect people to follow. He called himself the beacon of light. That is not somebody you want to follow.
I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
That is the type of person you roll your eyes at and want to get fired. And on Sunday morning following the SEC championship game, a Georgia fan woke up real early, got on a homemade loudspeaker, and began to wake up and taunt his neighbor, as well as the rest of the neighborhood, who was an Auburn fan.
Good morning, neighborhood. We'd like to congratulate the Georgia Bulldogs on their fine SEC victory last night. And I'd particularly like to say go dogs to my neighbors, the Faulkners. It's 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I just wanted to see if y'all could give us a shout out. Go dogs! Huh? We beat the dog crap out of you, huh? Well, wake up! Well, coffee, baby.
Beat the dog crap out of you! Go dogs! That is courtesy of the Georgia beat on the red and black. So, how annoying is this guy? this is the most annoying guy ever. You can watch this video and he's in his bathrobe. It's cold. There's like dew on all of the grass. And he's just out there bright and early. The sun's not even up yet. Waking up his neighbor with a homemade loudspeaker. Now, I can only imagine that Auburn fan taunting him all week. We're going to beat the crap out of you. We're the SEC champion. We trounced you a couple of weeks ago. This is built up after Auburn pounded them at Jordan-Hare late in the season. And then Georgia got the ultimate revenge. And here's microphone guy. Early morning microphone guy waking up the whole neighborhood. That's a comeuppance right there. Early morning microphone guy. That's a new one. And that's your sound check. Hey, we are counting down the 12 DAs of Christmas. We're counting down the best moments of the year. And we're also getting to number 12 on Friday. But before we do that, it's the first four out.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Counting down the weirdest, craziest, and downright most mothershipping moments of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Wow, okay, so let me ask you, Mr. Six.
From what I heard, it was a little bit more of spitting that happened.
Miraz, you spit on somebody?
I was talking very loudly.
Oh,
and
my God. Now, hitting me.
Roberto Alomar, all right? It's in my past.
Your honorable Uncle Futrelli is bringing the robe out of the closet. D.A., this is unacceptable that we have unaccounted for and unpresent staff members due to a little mini nor'easter. I can't have it.
Well, a couple of years ago, I read that you had suggested that maybe you had created a monster in Paul Simon. Do you still feel a couple of years later that way?
I'm not so interested in.
He ate something that comes out of the dog's wrong side, and he ate it and then admitted it.
And I thought I had dropped the chocolate chip on the ground, so I rushed to pick it up and pop it in my mouth to save the dog from instant death. Instead, only to realize that taste was not the chocolate. It was a long morning for me.
The time is now.
It's still the first four out, and these have been really good, so just imagine how good the top 12 are. January the 5th, Calvin calls up and makes us die laughing with how he pronounces hot pepper. Calvin's in Pennsylvania, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 98.7. What's up, Cal?
Hey, beat me up there, buddy, on okay. Your mothership.
All right. What's up?
Okay, I got an idea for Sean Moraes.
Yeah.
On this bet, he wants to make the bet. He'll do literally everything.
That's right.
Okay, this might teach the guy a lesson. It's what you call an old school lesson. Go out and buy 4 inch of hot peppers. If he loses, Giants lose this weekend, then there's something you can make him do in that studio. And videotape it on YouTube and Facebook. Welcome by 4 hot anchovy peppers. He has to eat every one of them without nothing to drink.
All right.
Did Napoleon Dynamite just call it?
4 hot poppers.
It's actually not a bad taste. It's the hot.
Nothing to drink. I've got something he could do in the city. He could eat 4 poppers. Enchilada poppers. Nothing to drink. To teach him a lesson. Old school lesson.
Facebook!
I could videotape it on YouTube! Calvin, hot peppers! Enchilada hot peppers! As one of your first four out of the 12 DAs of Christmas. I don't know. sometimes even the first four out, I feel like, are deserving of the top 12. This should be a really, really good top 12. Enchilada hot peppers. So coming up here in studio, our good friend Katie Linnendahl is going to join us. Gadget guru. She's got holiday gift ideas, and she's all about this new Star Wars movie. And so I kind of feel like she's got some inside info into what's happening with this flick that's coming out next week. Katie Linnendahl in studio next, DA, CBS Sports Radio. Poppers!
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.